May the Lord enable us to commence this morning with hymn 679. Come, thou almighty comforter, and bring upon thy wing sweet consolation to each soul, that we may praise and sing. Hymn 679.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read from the first book of Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
O Lord, do grant us hearts truly to call upon thee, an honest heart before our God. May the wishes of our hearts go with the words we say. Lord, do not leave us to pray in vain. Oh, may thy dear Spirit come and teach us what to pray for and how. Enable us to come before the mercy seat, pleading the blood that does for sin atone, the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth from all sin. Lord, we would come before thee and confess our sins and seek the forgiveness which is in thy dear Son. Thou knowest how we are brought very low through oppression, affliction and sorrow, for we cannot stand against the temptations of our mighty adversary. And in our slips and falls, we are brought to realize that we have no standing in self. Our only hope is that every sin, every great sin, has been atoned for by the dear Saviour as he hung, suffered, bled and died at Calvary, and rose again to show that our sins laid upon him were forever put away through the merits of his death. Oh, then, Lord, do reveal this dear Saviour to us. Oh, may we know that Christ is ours, that thy free grace appointed a Saviour from before the world's foundation, and that we might be found in him, in that covenant of everlasting life. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt draw near to us today, who come confessing, mourning over our sins. Not worthy of these things, it must be all of thy free grace, Lord. Wilt thou touch our hearts, draw our affections after thee? I must have Christ as all in all, or sink in ruin, guilt and thrall. Lord, make known that this dear Saviour is our Saviour. Open our understandings, open our eyes to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and do reign in our hearts. Govern all our thoughts and ways. Oh, those wicked thoughts that come in, Lord, purge them away. Keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us. We thank thee for the privilege of gathering together in this house of prayer. Oh, Lord, but we pray that thy Spirit may reign in the midst, that thou wilt do good in our souls. May we not go out as we have come in, and may we not be left to an outward form, denying the power thereof. Oh, we do long, Lord, for thy work to appear in each one in our own hearts. that thou wilt guide us into thy truth, that thou wilt lead us on day by day in the way which thou wouldst have us to go in, that we may know some communion with thee. Oh, how we mourn thy absence, the coldness, and we cannot cast our burden upon them. Lord, thou art able to change the scene in a moment. Come over the mountains of all our sins and speak peace to our souls through the pardoning blood. And we plead with thee for it, this great blessing, to know that thou hast saved us, that thou hast washed away all our sins in that fountain opened at Calvary. Lord, remember us then, each soul that has come up here today, each one with their own needs and cases, Lord, those that have been laid before thee, seeking an answer this day. Do not send any empty away, if it might please thee. O, work among us as a church and people. O, make known that thy Spirit doth yet reign in our midst, and that there is a great work which thou hast yet to accomplish here in bringing souls out of nature's darkness into the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what we pray for, Lord. We pray for all providential blessings and mercies. But one thing is needful. And may we each be found on the Lord's side, those whom thou hast chosen in thy sovereign wisdom, that we might inherit the kingdom of heaven, that inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, to be with Christ to all eternity. Oh, may we each have a token of it today, if it might please thee. Do soften our hard hearts. Quicken them, Lord. Oh, do lead us to behold him who suffered the just for the unjust, and to hear the Holy Spirit say, all this was done for you, to put away your sins. Lord, we do beg of thee to be with us in our services, to help Benji to read the sermon preached before time. And Lord, may it be applied in many hearts, as though it were being preached afresh. And we pray for thy servant who cannot be here in all his deep distress, that thou wilt remember him today, Lord, and bless him in his own soul. Oh, do restore him again, and if it please thee, wilt thou restore him to the walls of Zion and make him useful to thy dear people here, that thou wilt speak through him the word of life, that quickening word, and that souls may be drawn unto thee. Remember his dear family also. Undertake for them in this deep trial. We pray for one that we hope to hear this evening. If it might please thee, Lord, that thou wilt come with him, and that he may prove to be the Lord's servant indeed to our souls, that his word may be with divine power in our souls, the Holy Ghost speaking through him. May we be given ears to hear, hearts to understand, and feet to run in thy ways. We do pray for poor Zion, in all the troubles that are come upon her, and that do come upon her day after day and year after year, that thou wilt from these things bring forth matter eternity to fill with ever-growing praise. Lord, we are so prone to the slips and falls. We confess before thee ourselves we cannot keep, ourselves we cannot save. But faith in thee we fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. Lord, watch over us, do keep us, and do restore us again from our falls. Restore unto my soul the joy of thy salvation, the psalmist prayed. And, O Lord, we long to pray the same, and that thou wilt do it for us. We pray that thou wilt remember us as a church and congregation, that there may be fruits made manifest in our midst, signs following the preaching of the word, that it is indeed thy work in our midst, that thou hast not forsaken us. We do specially pray, Lord, for those who are in deep trouble, sorrow, bodily affliction, temptation, pain. Thou knowest the case of each one. Many are hidden from us. But Lord, wilt thou appear to each one and say, I am thy salvation. Lord, it is to be made ready for eternity. This is the greatest thing, and the greatest sickness is the sickness of our souls. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. We pray for our nation. Lord, remember her. What can we say? We are part of it. We all have utterly sinful hearts, and can we wonder at the great sin in our own nation? But do turn us, Lord, and grant us grace to plead before thee, that thou wilt turn the tide of evil, that thou wilt speak in the hearts of many. All hearts are in thy hand, and those wicked things that are upon our statute book and that are being proposed now, in each case, Lord, do work. And when some propose things according to thy own word, Lord, do prosper them, if it might please thee. We have seen how thou hast overturned by thy mighty hand, and we pray that thou wilt do it again and again. We see the approaching end of all things, the end of time. We ask that thou wilt prepare us each for that great and solemn day when we must stand before thy judgment seat. Own us in that day for thine. Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak, that thou wilt be a surety for us, that thou wilt show that thou hast borne all our iniquities, carried them away, and that we stand complete in a dear Saviour. Remember us now, be with us in this service. Bless it to our souls, and as we go away, Lord, may it not be lost. May there be those things that abide, those things that we have gleaned, that we may take away and beat out before thee. Pardon every sin, Lord. Receive us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 754. Holy Comforter, descend, testify of Christ the Lamb. From the foe our hearts defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. 754. You a sermon preached by Mr. Ramsbottom, and you will find the text in the Epistle of James, chapter 5, and the first part of verse 17. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, and the first part of verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. If it had not been for this verse, the Holy Ghost's comment, we should have thought that Elijah was not a man like we are, not a man of like passions as we are, because as you read through the life of Elijah, he seems an amazing person, a person different from almost everyone else in the Old Testament. And of course, in many ways, he was. He suddenly appeared as if from nowhere. He went from this earth without dying. He ascended into heaven in a chariot of fire. He prayed on one occasion and brought down fire from heaven and destroyed his enemies. He prayed on another occasion and he raised the dead to life. You read the life of Elijah, and it seems this great man, this eminent man, was not like we are. But the Holy Ghost says that he was. He was a man of like passions as we are. He felt his weakness. He was tried. He was tempted. He was plagued with unbelief. He wrestled hard, as we do now, with sins and doubts and fears. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Of course, there is much in this verse that we cannot emulate. We are told here that Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That was one of the most terrible prayers in the whole of Scripture. He prayed that there might be a drought, that there might be a famine. He prayed that God's judgments might fall on Israel. He prayed there might be these dreadful desolations in the land. Now, I do not see that we are called to follow Elijah in that. It must have been a special leading of the Spirit of God. It was a terrible prayer, and the interesting thing is that we do not have a hint of this prayer. We do not have a mention of it in the Old Testament. We have Elijah appearing and announcing this dreadful drought, the withholding of rain, but we do not read anything of this, that before he had wrestled earnestly in prayer that there might be no rain upon the earth. He was consumed with a desire for the honour and glory of God. He could say with his Lord and Master, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." He put the honour and glory of God before his own personal comfort and that of his friends and that of his country. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. This is one of a few New Testament scriptures which clearly speak of things happening in the Old Testament, yet in the Old Testament itself, we are not given a single hint concerning them. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. So we see him going to the brook Cherith. And he was a man of like passions as we are. It was not an easy way. We know the end. He did not. We see how he was brought through. It must have been a very lonely life, living there in the open air by a brook. And he was a man of like passions as we are. There is a word there for you lonely ones, a word there for you disappointed ones, a word there for those of you who cannot understand the way the Lord is leading you. He was sent to the brook Cherith, and he was a man of like passions as we are, with his hopes and his fears. And he prayed. I have often wondered about all those silent months when he was all alone by the brook Cherith, day and night. He was not preaching, he was not teaching, He was not meeting anyone. We wonder what he was doing. The Lord tells us here, he prayed. Sometimes in your life you will be led by the Lord and taken away, and perhaps you wonder, how am I to spend this time? We have an example here. He prayed. I often think of our dear old people in Bethesda. If you will, some of them have had very hard lives, busy lives, energetic lives, and now there is all this time to be spent. And do not forget, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. It may be there is to be that ministry of prayer, that ministry of intercession. I know with one or two, in a very particular and blessed way, it has been so, and they have been able to point to the answers to their prayers, and they have been able to see one another and say, I prayed for that. And when they have been awake in the night and early in the morning, they have been praying. Well, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he had that lonely life, and he prayed, and he received answers to his prayers. I have often thought about that point, the ministry of intercession. Some of the saints of God have been eminent in it, almost as if they could ask the Lord for anything, and they got it. It is a ministry I have coveted for years. I have to say with Paul, not as though I had already attained. Oh, to be blessed with this spirit of intercession. This person, this difficulty, this cause laid on our mind, and in secret prayer to wrestle, and then to look, and to watch, and to wait, and to see the Lord answering as his providence unfolds the book. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. He prayed by the brook Cherith. He prayed that his needs might be supplied, and how blessedly his needs were supplied. And as you are enabled to pray for your needs to be supplied, they will be, blessedly so, because the promise stands, my God shall supply all your need. All of it, body and soul, providence and grace, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now he prayed that his needs would be supplied, but they were supplied in a strange way, weren't they? Ravens. More likely to rob than to feed were ravens which live upon prey. But when the Lord's people have need, his goodness will find out a way. Now, do you believe it? The Lord will supply your need, Jehovah Jireh, but you will have to pray for it. At times the Lord will lead you in a place you have never gone before. You have not passed this way heretofore. You are by the brook Cherith, and the Lord has led you there to pray. There are two things in prayer. One is, it will draw you closer to the Lord. And the other is, it will bring you independence on the Lord. All these trials and afflictions, beloved friends, affliction does not bring the blessing. You know that, don't you? Afflictions do not bring blessings, but they often drive us home to anchor on his grace. That is what happened with Elijah. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Over the years, and reading it this morning, I have felt that emphasis there. It is in the pathway appointed. It is where the Lord leads you. It is when you come to that trial. It is at the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And a few verses later, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. but the mystery of God's dealings. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. He must have prayed a lot when he saw the brook Cherith from which he drank, drying up day by day, and a silent God, and he did not know what to do. It seemed he was going to perish in the drought, and the Lord did not speak to him and tell him what to do until the very day when the brook was dried up. Now you and I would like the Lord to show us what to do before we come there. And often the Lord waits until all created streams are dry, and then his providence unfolds the book. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. It must have been a sore trial, and it must have been hard to his flesh as he was waiting and not knowing what he had to do. And perhaps some of you are waiting this morning and seeking the Lord what you have to do. Then, when the Lord spoke, it was a strange word. He had to go down to Zarephath. Well, that was enemy land. It was heathen land. It was where Jezebel came from. He had to leave the promised land of peace and go to a heathen country. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. It must have been a terrible trial to him. He must have been bewildered by it. Do you find things in your life sometimes that bewilder you? Especially if you think you are following the Lord's will. But you see the obedience of faith, and he went. And you see how his providence unfolds the book and makes his counsel shine. There was not just a widow woman there. There was the barrel with a little meal in it. There was a cruse with a little oil in it. And there was more than that. There was a gracious, almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I'm sure he would have liked to have had that barrel overflowing at the top, but he did not. There was a bit at the bottom. No provision for tomorrow until tomorrow comes. No stock on nature's barren ground. My all is in thy storehouse found. Wouldn't we like to have a stock of grace and strength and wisdom and everything else for tomorrow and next week and this coming year? Dear child of God, you will not have it. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. When you come there, you will find there is a handful of meal at the bottom of your barrel, and you will find there is a little oil still in your cruse. You see the mysterious working of God. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. And what a wonderful prayer it was on Mount Carmel. And what a wonderful prayer it was when he prayed the fire down from heaven. And what a wonderful prayer it was when he prayed for the little boy to be raised to life. See, thy son liveth. And he was a man of like passions as we are. I saw this years ago. People talk about the power of prayer. There is not any power in prayer. Though we know what we mean and we do not make people offend us for a word, the power is in Almighty God dealing with our weakness. The power was not in Elijah. The power was not in his prayers. The power was in Elijah's God. But did you notice even in that wonderful prayer on Mount Carmel, when the fire descended from heaven, destroyed the sacrifice, When the rain came after those years of drought, he had to wait for it. He was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed. But he was tempted in his prayer, and he did not get the answer immediately. He had to wait for it. He was sure his prayer was going to be answered, and he sent the little servant boy. But the little servant boy came back with this answer: "There is nothing." You know that, don't you, some of you? You have had your head between your knees like Elijah did, wrestling with the Lord in prayer, and you send to look for an answer, and there is nothing. Go again 7 times. Without cessation pray, your prayers will not prove vain. Our Joseph turns aside to weep, but cannot long refrain. He prayed, and he received the answer. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. But there is another prayer of Elijah recorded, when he was under the juniper tree. We think of that wonderful prayer on Mount Carmel, and the wonderful prayer raising the dead to life, and the wonderful prayer bringing fire from heaven. But that prayer under the juniper tree was not much of a prayer. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. There was not much prayer in it, and it did not make sense. But it received a blessed answer. So try what your poor prayers will do. Without cessation pray, your prayers will not prove vain. Elijah, a man of like passions as we are. How he defied Ahab and the priests of Baal and Jezebel. But he had to prove that the best of men are only men at best, and left to himself, he faltered and failed and fled. One day defying the hosts of Israel and the hosts of hell, and the next day fleeing from a woman, running away from his troubles. The Lord will never let you fly away from your troubles. David proved that. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. This is my infirmity. The Lord will not give you the wings of a dove to fly away from your troubles. He will give you the wings of an eagle to bear you above and carry you through. You know what David said at the end? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Notice that. The Lord does not promise always to take the burden away. Some have to carry a burden down to their dying day. But the Lord has promised sustaining, supporting, upholding grace. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But poor Elijah, if ever he appears a man of like passions as we are, it is when he fled and he lay down under the juniper tree and he thought he was a complete failure. He thought it was the end. He thought there was nothing. He thought he could not go on any further. All he could say was, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. There was not much prayer in that prayer, but the Lord most graciously answered it. Perhaps he'd had more dramatic answers, but he never had a more loving answer than when he lay prostrate, helpless, under the juniper tree. An angel was sent from heaven to comfort the Lord's poor, failing, trembling servant, afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. He caused him to sleep. There was a cake baked on the coals. The old Puritan divine said that the Lord sometimes turns angels into bakers. An angel sent from heaven to bake him a cake. That was natural, that was providential. That was bodily. The Lord realizes the bodily needs of his people, as well as their spiritual needs. But then he fed him with the heavenly manna, the food from heaven. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Now that is exactly what Elijah was feeling, and Almighty God did not contradict him. Perhaps that is what some of you are feeling this morning. The journey is too great for me. And Almighty God does not contradict you. He provides for you. He strengthens you. He leads you. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Then let the worldling boast his joys. We've eat meat to eat he knows not of. We count his treasures worthless toys, while we possess a Saviour's love. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return. The Lord had not finished with him yet. There was still something for him to do. His days on earth had not ended. Have you ever thought of it? Poor Elijah in his extremity cried under that juniper tree, Let me die and not live. He never did die. He was carried up triumphantly in a chariot of fire into heaven. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. The way this especially rested with me this week is like this, concerning our prayers, our poor prayers, our difficulties in prayer, our problems in prayer. And Elijah is brought before us as a man who was much blessed in prayer. We are told this, and it is such an encouraging word, at least it is to me, that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. He had the same problems in prayer that you and I do, but he prayed and he received answers to his prayers. He knew what it was to have wandering thoughts. He knew what it was to have a prayerless spirit. He knew what it was to have a hard heart. He knew what it was to pray and feel there was no prayer in his prayer. He knew what it was to feel that if God is going to accomplish his purposes, and surely he will, then why bother to pray? He was a man subject to like passions as we are. He had the same problems, the same difficulties, the same unbelief, the same sinful heart that you and I have. But he prayed despite all this, and with all this, and through all this, and the Lord answered his prayers. The Lord blessedly answered his prayers. So there is the encouragement for you to pray, though you have all these problems. Even the great Elijah had these difficulties and problems. Mr. Oliver Pack used to say that by nature we have a sinful aversion to prayer. There is the mercy seat sprinkled with blood. There is the throne of grace. There is the promise to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The wonderful privilege, the loving welcome, the King of Kings, and yet our sinful hearts are so backward in prayer. Elijah knew all this, but he prayed. And there is that encouragement to you and me to pray on. The vital point of all this morning is this, that prayer is answered for Jesus' sake through the mediator. It is not whether our prayers are good prayers or bad prayers. There is so much mixed with them, but it is for Jesus' sake. It is through the merit of Jesus' precious blood. It is through his great and glorious work as high priest, merciful and faithful. It is through him, the blessed mediator, who stands between in garments dyed in blood. I love to quote Thomas Watson, the godly Puritan. He said, "You would not recognize your prayers if you could see them entering heaven." He said it is like the little girl whose father is sick and she goes out to bring him some flowers in an old jam jar, and there are more weeds than flowers. Her mother takes them out of the old jam jar and puts them in a beautiful vase. She takes all the weeds out and adds a few more flowers from the garden and beautifully arranges them. And then she takes them in and presents them to her husband. Thomas Watson said, "That is like your prayers. The Lord takes out of them all that is sinful and adds to them everything that is missing. And then he presents them acceptably to his Father." Have you ever wondered why such poor prayers receive such blessed answers for Jesus' sake? That is the vital thing this morning. These other things are interesting and important, but this is the vital thing, the ground and foundation of prayer, the ground of access, the ground of acceptance, the ground of answers for Jesus' sake. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed and he received the answers. There is one verse of a hymn which is extremely blessed on this point, and I hope it will be made a blessing to some of you this morning as you think before you pray of the poverty of your prayers and, worse than that, the sinfulness of your person. It comes in the well-known hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." People often say to me, "Why did Gadsby only put 3 verses in?" And I do not know the answer. But I wonder why the modern hymn books, when they put more in, only put 6 in. This is the verse that every hymn book leaves out. "By him, Christ, by him my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child." Now that is the ground, the only ground, on which our poor prayers are answered and our sinful persons accepted through the Lord Jesus. His name, his person, his death, his precious blood, his resurrection, his intercession, his all-prevailing advocacy on high. It is worth repeating, "By him my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed, and he received the answers. May it be an encouragement to you and me, with our faults and failures, sins and hardness and unbelief, still to pray, still to press our case, and to look for the answers on mercy's ground, and mercy's ground alone. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed, and the Lord answered his prayers. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wells will preach this evening instead of Mr. Hope. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their prayer meeting on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 897. "Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. what things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing, Christ will send them down. Hymn 897.
Thank you. Lord, we pray that thou grant